Someday a friend may offer you a chance to visit the other side of a dream. Your ticket is a little packet of white powder called heroin. But every packet of heroin is different. You don't know what's getting into you. Some doses are so strong they kill. Heroin is so vicious that the criminals who make the big money in heroin don't use it. They know a lot of reasons why heroin is very, very dumb. Maybe that's why they call it dope.
I have been stabbed, shot, poisoned, frozen, hung, electrocuted, and burned.
The Durango 95 purred away real horror shows. A nice, warm, vibrating feeling all through your gutty woods. Soon it was trees and dark, my brothers, with real country dark.
Afraid, honey? Well, why don't you come with me? Oh, I'll sing you a song till your mom comes back. God is here, his holy name. Earthly fall, be silent now.
Whenever you come in here and interrupt me, you're breaking my concentration. You're distracting me, and it will then take me time to get back to where I was. Understand?
Starting this fall on Irrational Public Radio, we all know our neighbors, our coworkers, the kid who makes our bagel sandwich. But what about that guy who yells at birds? The woman responsible for smearing garbage in your child's hair? American Mavericks reveals the stories of people who've taken the road less traveled.
So, you're like a stabber, like you literally stab people.
I have, yes.
Like, I'm just trying to understand, because, you know, you see people on TV stabbing people, but it's pretend. Mm. But you do it for real. Is that okay to say?
No, that's...
Sorry. I mean, I don't want to be that girl who's all like, oh, you shouldn't stab people, but you shouldn't, right? Is that...
Okay? Yeah, that's totally legit. I've killed, like, over, like 16 people, but one of those that I actually stabbed actually fell off a bridge, and that's what actually killed him, so I don't...
Oh, right, so it's... So, right.
Yeah.
It's like that. Do you count that?
Exactly.
So, wait. Do you have a special stabbing knife?
No. Yeah, a lot of people, just whatever's around and sturdy.
Right, I was going to say, because otherwise then they see you coming with a big bloody stabbing knife and they're just like,
look out, it's that stabbing guy.
And you're more than that, I'm sure.
Thank you, yes. I have I stabbed people? Yes, I have to own that, because it's a choice that I made a bunch of times. But I'm sick of being just the guy who stabbed a whole bunch of people. I also, I run a knife sharpening business. I collect other people's blood. I make my own barbecue sauce. There's a lot to me if you get to know me.
I'm sure that's true. I wish more people would take the time.
Well, a lot of them end up stabbed.
Oh, I'm sorry. You sound very brave.
Thank you.
American Mavericks, Wednesdays at 4 and again at 4.
Ah! You're listening to WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. Real Horror Show with Chris Earl and Winston Kidd here with you until 7 p.m. Good afternoon, Medford, Massachusetts. My name's Chris Rule, and my co-host today for Real Horror Show is none other than Winston Kidd. How are you, Winston?
I'm good, Mr. Earl. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. It's been a while since you've been in the studio, eh?
Yeah, it's been a couple of years now.
I don't know what happened. I sounded like I was Canadian there for a second. It's been a little while since you've been in the studio, eh? You got a toque and some headphones.
Oh, yeah, eh?
Toque? It's pretty much the same thing. It's time travel, but it's a horror show now. So it's a real horror show. And I had a little new intro there, which is kind of fun. Plus something from Irrational Public Radio there, Stabbers. I always like that one.
That's, that
Isn't
was,
that great?
Yeah, it's rare that when you're listening to something that you actually laugh out loud, and that got me. That was good.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Guy, he did Irrational Public Radio, and there's like 24 episodes out there. And yeah, it's really good. I mean, it sounds exactly like regular public radio.
Yeah.
And they just throw so many weird things in there while you're listening to it. And all the episodes are like 10 to 20 minutes. They're really good. It's a lot of fun. In the background, I have something called Melancholia, which is from a video game. I've never actually played this video game, but I like the music, so I added it to the intro today. Everyday horrors is what we normally start off with. And I should say, I'm not sure, but Derek Gary is an everyday horror today because he's out sick. And that's one of the everyday horrors. People get the sick day, unless he's quietly quitting, which is what they call, or silently quitting. I'm not really sure. I don't think he is. I think he's just sick. I'm not really sure. But I do appreciate you coming in all the way in from the great state of Rhode Island to be with us today.
That's right. From Pawtuxet Village.
Yeah. You've been down there a little while, so I guess we can call you a, what do they call you, a roadie? A Rhode Island Red? What do they call you?
Geez, the people in Rhode Island wouldn't accept that. Won't accept me,
no.
So I'm probably going to be back in Massachusetts in the spring.
Think so?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's all right.
Oh, yeah.
You're like a
that.
Snowbird, except you go just to Rhode Island.
Just to Rhode Island in the winter and then back.
Nice. Yeah, so you've been fishing.
Oh, the fishing's been great.
Mm-hmm. No sharks?
No sharks.
No.
Nope. We've been able to avoid the becoming a NASA statistic.
That's good. Always good. What have you been getting? Stripers?
Been getting a lot of good stripers. It's the fall run going down. They're just about done.
Yeah.
I have literally been catching one keeper a day.
Nice.
Right off the back of my boat. I don't even have to go out.
Do you chum?
Nope.
You don't have to, right?
There Eels? Is so much bait in the cove I'm in.
Yeah.
That they're just going crazy. And I hit them up with a little white swimmer. And
a little white swimmer,
yeah.
not a million white swimmers, right? Just a little white, just one.
Not in the millions, just a little one.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, five or six casts out, and you're hooked up.
That's all right. Sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
You remember Piranha? You remember that?
Oh yeah,
that
went probably several sequels to that too, huh?
Yeah, there were for the schools of fishes horror movies, that's probably one of the best.
Yeah,
I would think.
I thought,
and I loved Piranha 3D too, with Elizabeth Shue and Ving Rhames.
Yes,
that was good.
Anything
Eli
with Ving Rhames, you know, I love.
Yeah, I love that. Do you Ving Rhames? Can you do a little Ving Rhames for us? Like, just Ving Rhames, like ordering lunch. Can you do a Ving Rhames ordering lunch? I'll give you a second to think about it. I don't mean to put you on the spot. Here he is, everybody. This is Winston Kidd on Real Horror Show today, and he's going to be Ving Rhames from Pulp Fiction fame and Piranha 3D and many, many other movies, ordering lunch. Here we go.
What's next? I'll tell you what's next. You're going to give me a BLT on rye. You're going to put some mayo on that. You hear me, homeboy?
Nice. Yeah, that's how we do it. I think that's how we do it. This is Ving Rhames ordering a BLT. Lunch is as performed by Winston Kidd. One of the things that I wanted to do here on Real Horseshoe, we haven't really gotten a chance to. We did it on time travel a little bit in the Watch This Movie show that I did. Was the scripts. That was fun when we were doing scripts.
Oh, yeah. We did some scripts there. That you, me, and... the Deli Juices gang,
yes,
wrote up.
Yes.
You,
we did,
me, and Charlie.
We did those actual scripts, but I was also thinking, remember, we were doing the movie scripts. And it was word for word, like movie scripts, and we were playing the characters.
Yes.
I thought that was pretty fun.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was pretty good. So we usually start off with these everyday horrors. So I think, like, the sickness, down with the sickness, is pretty bad, you know? COVID, it took over life for a couple of years. We talked about horror movies involving, like, you know, like Outbreak and Contagion, things like that, things similar to COVID. But we kind of exhausted that subject, and everybody's so sick of talking about it now. So we start off with a little everyday horror. I thought maybe we could talk about getting hit by cars, because we have something in common now.
We do. It's not a club you want to be in.
No.
One star would not recommend.
Yeah. Right? One star would not recommend hit by car.
Oh, yeah.
So do you want to talk about your story, I should ask, before putting you on the spot?
Yeah, we can talk about it. I've been, you know, throughout COVID, I found one thing that really helped my mental health, and that was going for long bike rides.
Okay. I love the bike too. How long would you go? Where would you go?
I would go. I needed to go between 12 and 20 miles, so I kind of eventually just worked up to doing 20 mile stints.
Sure.
And I was on the East Bay bike path in East Providence, Rhode Island.
Okay.
And I came up to an intersection, stopped, saw a guy coming, waved to him. He looked like he waved back.
No. Oh, no. You waved to him friendly.
Friendly.
Like, not angrily.
No, no. Waved to him. Hey, here I am. Yeah. And he kind of waved back and slowed down. So I went through.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And then he pegged me.
Oh, my God. So you, like, waved to him. He saw you, and he still hit you. That's an everyday horror right there, sure. Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
so I get spun around. I almost made it. That's the worst part, you know? I almost made it. He clipped the back part of my bike, spun me around, broke my wrist, screwed up my leg.
Here's the first thing my dad would ask. How was the bike?
Yeah, the bike was messed up.
Yeah. And then I'd start talking about how I was. That's the first thing he asked with the car accident. How's the car?
So the guy was nice. He stopped. He apologized, said he didn't see me.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
And it's like, okay, I'm 6'2" with 55-inch shoulders, and I'm on a bicycle.
Wearing like a yellow T-shirt probably, right?
Wearing a bright green T-shirt and a helmet.
Yeah.
I have a frame you could pick up on radar, but he couldn't see me.
Don't you love that answer, too? Like, the first thing they say is, I didn't see you. Like, oh, okay, well, everything's fine then. Everything's then perfect.
And it doesn't matter. He goes, I was looking at my girlfriend.
Oh, all right. Okay. Where was she?
Okay,
was she off in a distance?
She was in the passenger seat.
Yeah, screaming?
And she was screaming, look out. And he looked at her rather than hit the brakes.
Oh, jeez.
So then the paramedics came, and they were great, but they wanted to do all their paramedic shit on
me. Yeah, what'd they do?
I'm on the ground.
Yeah.
And they show up and they bring the stretcher.
Yeah.
And I've resigned myself to the fact that I'm going to have to take a ride in an ambulance.
Yeah.
Because I'm bleeding and my wrist is clearly broken.
Ooh. How'd it look?
It looked like...
Here's the horror show.
It looked like it went up and there was like... just dropped down and then came back up.
Oh.
Like there was a little... Almost like a Lego block missing, right?
Oh, my goodness. A Lego block was missing out of his arm, out of his wrist. Yeah.
So I'm sitting there, and I'm a little bit in shock, but relatively coherent. And the wrist hurts. Mm-hmm. My leg's bleeding, but it's like these three guys come over, and they want to pick me up off the ground.
Oh, no. You're not supposed to move somebody who's on the ground.
And
wait for the paramedics.
There was the paramedics. We're there.
Okay.
They want to pick me up.
I still wouldn't want to be picked up. I'm like, get away from me.
Put on the stretcher, and I'm like, no, you guys are not picking me up.
I'd be like, find my Lego block first. Don't move me at all.
Yeah.
Find the Lego block that belongs to my arm.
Give me the Lego
arm,
block. And really. Yeah. And I sat there, and I said, here, you stand there. And I put up my hand. I said, grab my hand. And I stood myself up and I sat on the... Because what's going to happen? These three guys are going to try to pick me up. They're going to move my wrist, which is going to hurt like a mother.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just didn't want that to happen.
So were you joking around, too? You wouldn't know. Because I was joking around when I was in shock. Like, did you say, like, as Arnold Schwarzenegger, like, grab my hand?
No. I did not. I was in shock and I'm just like, in disbelief.
Yeah.
And I get in the... I get in the thing and they want to put the neck brace on me. And I'm like, dude, I already basically walked in here. If there's a problem, it's too late.
Oh.
And they said, no, you can take it off when you get to the hospital. Nobody's going to say anything. But
yeah, and they make sure that you're in that that neck brace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that was a wasted day and destroyed my summer for the most part.
Oh, my God. And that was the beginning of the summer?
That was July 2nd.
July 2nd. Jeez. Man.
So
the fireworks came early.
Oh, damn! Yeah,
sorry.
That was the first time in my life I've ever been in a cast.
You have to laugh at the horrible things, because
absolutely.
What else is there?
You know? Don't laugh, you're going to cry.
This is what I say now, and I've said it before a couple of times on the show: is a day when nothing happens is normally a very good day. At this age.
Yeah.
You know, a day where absolutely nothing happens. You're just like, you went to work. maybe made a couple of calls to family, friends, whatever, and you just hung out, you know? It's a good day.
And I have another daily horror thing that just came up.
Another everyday horror?
Everyday horror. My mom has COVID.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, sure.
She's got pop positive.
She's got like generation... what generation of COVID would this be now? There's Omicron. What's the next one? P?
She's got...
Pestilence.
I think she's got the World War Z version.
Yeah, yeah. Don't you have to like shoot yourself with a vial of your own blood or something and the zombie blood in order to survive? Isn't that how Brad Pitt survives at the end of that?
Brad Pitt survives at the end of that.
Yeah.
By injecting himself with about 17 different deadly viruses.
Yes, yes. So the viruses are killing the other virus.
And
in theory.
That way the zombies didn't go after him because they knew he was infected.
I honestly didn't like that movie. Did you like it?
I hated that movie.
Yeah, I didn't like it either.
And yeah. It, despite the fact that I really like all the actors who are in it. I mean, I think, I don't care what anybody else says, I think Brad Pitt's a great actor.
I do too.
I've loved basically everything he's been in, but that was horrible. I mean, it was just...
Yeah, I think he was walking through that one. I didn't like it either. And like all the CGI, like these mountains of zombies climbing walls, like it's Lord of the Rings or something. I'm like, what is going on here?
I mean, they went against zombie canon.
Yeah.
And saying that all of a sudden these zombies aren't only fast, but they're super strong.
Yes.
And they all flow together.
Yeah.
Like water.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I didn't like about it, too. It's like, it was basically an excuse to just, you know, make a video game movie.
Yeah.
You know? This was an interesting theory. My friend Steve sent this one to me. He said, television shows and movies are bad now because most of the older writers aren't being hired, or they're just gone. So they're hiring very, very young people who don't have the background in writing, that are writing very juvenile stories and don't care about a beginning, a middle, and an end. They just want to get the work done for next week's show.
I can
year's
see
movie.
That. I can see that, where you've got a lot of writers who are not, you know, and again, coming from a comedy perspective, there's too much deference being shown to the present cultural norms.
Mm-hmm.
That's the safest way to put that.
That's for sure.
And
that is a nice way to put it.
You know, in comedy, you need to kind of poke people where they don't like being poked.
Yeah, yeah.
You look at all the pillars of comedy, and they all did that.
I feel like you should teach a class on that, because that was a perfect way to put that. And I think you can do pretty well, because everybody has to go to these classes now on how to deal with one another, which makes no sense to me, but... What do I know?
Yeah, it's just, and you know, the prevailing thought is now you can't offend anybody, which means you can't say anything.
Well, I'm offended by that.
Exactly.
Did you read that World War Z, or did you just see the movie? I just saw the movie.
I just saw the movie.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to read something about zombies. What do you need to read?
Yeah,
you know.
And after I saw the movie, I'm like, I have no interest in reading about this because. This adaptation was terrible.
Yeah, this is a good thing to shelve for a little bit, because I think we're going to talk about zombies today too. That was initial plan with Derek and myself. So we'll talk about World War Z, Walking Dead, maybe, and some other Night of the Living Dead. Of course, Derek talked about that last week because there was a new release on 4K, I believe, like last week or the week before. We did a review on that. But so the everyday horror of COVID. So how is this affecting, who did you say it was, your mom?
My mom.
Okay, how's she doing?
Ah, she's not doing great.
Yeah.
She's not feeling well, but...
Headache?
Headache.
The trots.
Really nauseous.
Yeah.
Being nauseous. So
yeah.
I think that's one of the big problems.
Runny nose?
Yep. Yep. A little bit of a fever.
Have to go boom boom a lot?
Not sure. We did not get into that. Not something I talk with my mother about.
My mom would tell me that right away. She'd
that
be like,
would be
boom,
an everyday
boom,
horror
a lot.
For me right there.
Yeah, no.
Mom,
yeah, I never
mom
really got
talking
that.
About her boom boom.
Yeah.
Just not...
I've never... See, the thing is I like... I'm not a person who really loves a good boom boom joke. I was never into that because it was my kind of like...
Yeah.
It's one of my least favorite things. That's an everyday horror. Cleaning the toilet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know?
and company comes over, it doesn't matter if, like, me or you come to visit each other, right, because we know we're men.
Right.
You know, we got to do a number two or number one. You don't have to clean it every single time.
And it doesn't have to look pristine.
No, no. But it's nice to give it a little
shine.
Poopery, a little spritz, a little dollar spray.
Yeah, get a little dollar spray from the dollar store. You're all set
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry.
But sometimes, you know, a Bounty and maybe just a little spritz, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but if you got a girl over, she's going to put her hoo-ha down there. She's going to want it clean.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an everyday horror for me, just having to clean the toilet every day. The trash, I don't mind. I don't mind bringing out the trash.
I am with you on that.
Yeah.
I view taking out the trash as a positive.
Yeah. Another everyday horror. I never really understood how I got the job of putting the toilet paper on the roll. How did that happen?
You were probably the only one who did it right.
Yeah. Upside down or the other way? There's the overleaf or the underleaf?
It's always over.
I say it's always over, too. You're right.
It's always over. And, in fact, if you go back to the actual patent,
yeah,
it shows it over.
It does.
In figure one.
Really? Interesting to know.
So... that I think that's fairly definitive for anybody who is deluded enough to think it goes under.
Yeah, yeah. My father, his dad said, this is bizarre, he used to tell the kids after they got the toilet paper and went to the bathroom, two squares is plenty.
Who said this?
This is like my grandfather. I never met him. But
I wouldn't shake hands with him.
No, that's what I said. I wouldn't shake hands with him either. I think that's why that shaking hands business went away. You know, I'm not sure about this fist pump that everybody does now, but I kind of enjoyed shaking hands when you met people. It was nice.
Yeah.
And now it's gone away. Now, what are we supposed
to
do?
It's coming back, though.
You know what? A nice
in business, it's
two-finger bump on the bum, I think, is nice. Just two fingers to each other. Guy, a girl, whatever. Just a little, how are you? Boom, boom.
A little, how's your father?
even a little flick. I remember when a teenager, you know, you greet your friend with a little flick. Sometimes they weren't paying attention to flick to the rear end or the front.
Oh, like, yeah.
Like, hey, buddy. What's going on? Let's go to the store.
Flick the bean.
Wake up.
Flick the bean.
In the background is a dark, creepy music box. Yeah. You know, the COVID stuff, I wish it would go away. It just doesn't seem like it's going to. You know?
It's
an everyday horror. That's it.
I'm going to treat it like my high school prom date treated me and just ignore it.
Yeah, there you go. I'm going to put, let's see. I'm going to put COVID at the top of the list. No. I'm going to put everyday washing the toilet at the top of the list. No, I'll put COVID at the top of the list. And trash is number three, and then the middle one would be the toilet. Those would be my everyday horrors for this week. Number one worst would be the COVID. I don't know. I think everybody should just get it at once, and then we could all just get it over with. But nobody seems to want to do that. Let's just all get sick. Just be one collective family that's sick. I don't understand it. Let me talk about another horror of mine. What's going on with TikTok? I know it's been around for a while, but I finally gave it a good look, like, over the past couple of weeks. Like, people start to send me more and more TikTok stuff. And I honestly think I've gotten to the point where either my brain is at like 50 of an IQ or everybody else's is. I don't understand what's happening. There's like magic happening. There's a woman named Olga that's like sticking her hands in sand and pulling out crystals and sending them to the U.S. Have you seen this channel?
I have not.
So it's like $59. So she's Russian, but she's in China. And she has this swirling thing of gravel in front of her.
Okay.
And they put a whole bunch of rocks in it. It's like crystals, they call it. But they're really just rocks.
Yeah.
And they've polished them up. And they have like a thing that looks like a skull and ear. They have just like a pyramid or whatever. So they'll throw a bunch of it. And she'll chat with the audience a little bit. And then they take a scoop. They pick up the scoop. And then they put it, and she talks about the scoop that they've got. And she's like, oh, you've got an obsidian circle. And she'd show it to the screen, like, oh, this one's a boyfriend, and it's just like this sphere. And so she just, like, talks to you. And then a Chinese guy shows up, and he's like, this is how to order. And he shows the order. And then she just keeps doing it. And it's got, like, 10,000 views happening all the time. I'm like, what is it? And it's actually, this one's a little bit fascinating. It's a little fascinating because I'm like, who is buying this? And a lot of people are buying it. And what I find fascinating about TikTok is it's real time. So you can actually say hi to somebody that's across the world.
Yeah.
With everybody else watching you say hi.
Yeah.
I think that's what the thing is for everybody, the thrill.
I think it's people, especially the youngins these days,
yeah,
love the attention they can get from around the world instantaneously all the time.
Yeah.
And so you have people on there who are just, some of them are either trying to show off their body to get you to come buy their OnlyFans.
Yeah.
And others are there trying to stir the pot and just get people to hate on them, and then they go back and forth, and it's just, there is a lot of, I have no idea what you're doing on there.
Yeah, like the magic stuff, I don't get it. Like
somebody will be seen, like, any of that.
Like somebody will hold up like five fingers, and they'll be like, hey, watch this, and he'll hold up five fingers, and then all of a sudden he'll spin around and show you four fingers, and then it'll be like, how, what do you think about that? And then, like, there's 1,000 comments underneath, like, oh, well, on the spin, he actually did this, he moved this and moved that. I'm like, he had five fingers up, now he's got four, end of story. I'm like, that's it. There's no magic there.
Yeah.
And people are trying to make it, like, a magical experience. I don't know. I believe in science, not magic. Science is real. It's like magic, but it's real.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like you said, the dancers, I'm like, what is going on? There was one person just like sitting in a room the other day, and I'm like sitting there. I got, you get a TikTok from somebody, and then something else like pops up right after, which is just so random. And unless you like it, it's not going to be catered to you. So I'm getting all kinds of crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Other than the rock person. I see that person all the time now since I liked it.
Yeah, once you like it, then they're like, okay, this guy over here, he's one of the rockers right there.
I might even buy one. I don't know. But it comes from Japan or China. And it's like $59, and you can get like a red heart, like something that looks like an emerald or jade, but it's not. It's just like a rock that they spray paint.
That's even, I mean, I give her a lot more credit than the woman who was selling her flatulence in a jar.
Oh my, really?
She was making
an everyday horror right
$50,000 a week.
You gotta be kidding me! Oh my god. Are we really there? Really? And oh, my God.
She was, I give her this, she was so dedicated to her craft that she finally was hospitalized because she was eating a diet to facilitate production.
Come on.
You can look this up.
Oh, my God. That is horrible.
And she was in the hospital because, too much. Your stomach can only take so much.
Ugh.
And people were buying this. I mean, a scarily large number of people.
Do you think Ving Rhames would buy one of these?
No.
give me Ving Rhames buying some magical odor in a box. Or was she can't send it in glass, because I think you can't send glass everywhere.
She was doing it in glass.
Really? Because this Olga that I was watching, she puts the crystals into a box. They can't sell glass, so they call it crystals. But so Ving Rhames decides, he's watching TikTok, and he decides to order this magical bottle of flatulence. How about just a little bit of Ving Rhames doing that? You think you can do that? Here we go. This is Winston Kidd doing Ving Rhames watching TikTok, and it's a woman who is selling flatulence by the bottle, and he's deciding whether or not to buy it. Here we go.
What's next? I'll tell you what's next. It's a woman. She's trying to sell me. What's that, flatulence in a jar? I'll tell you what. I ain't into that.
All right, he didn't buy it. All right.
I'm not buying that for
no,
sure.
No, he wouldn't buy that. Great movie. Pulp Fiction. All right, we talked about this. Got one of the most disturbing, a couple of the most disturbing scenes in movies. when Uma Thurman gets the ultimate piercing, pretty much, when she has to be brought to life.
Oh, that was...
Brought back to life.
Yeah.
Because she's overdosed. Crazy.
That whole movie was just... It was like 8 ways of crazy just kind of stitched together.
Yeah. One of the greatest moments of horror on screen in a non-horror movie right there.
Yeah.
In Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'll tell you what now. So good. Have you seen any horror movies this year?
Not this year.
No. I was hoping to go out and see some. I watched a couple of newer ones, and I reviewed them a couple of weeks ago. I saw that Antlers, I saw Old, and I saw The Candyman, the re-release of The Candyman. The only one I really recommend is Old. I thought Old was really good. I talked about it briefly, but it's M. Night Shyamalan, and there's a bunch of people that go to a resort, and they end up on a beach at the resort. And within a day, they're all aging, and they're all basically going to die of old age, including, and the kids.
So it's an accelerated aging?
Yes, yes. And it's got a little bit of a, it's got a little bit of a mystery to it. But what it basically is, it's a pharmaceutical company that's testing drugs on people who already have these conditions, and they've got them all together, and they give them some concoctions, which is the medication.
Yep.
So they have it and see what happens at an accelerated rate. So while they're taking the medication for so long, a few of them are actually cured, and some of them it doesn't work.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool. Everybody's heard about the bird. But I recommend it. It's worth seeing.
I got it. you remember the movie? That sounds at least somewhat like... not somewhat. It just reminds me of the movie Thinner.
Yeah, that's another, that's Stephen King, that's similar to it, yeah.
1996.
Yeah. Yeah, Thinner, he basically meets a gypsy, right? And then he keeps eating and he keeps getting thinner, right?
Yeah.
Or he has to keep eating?
Yep.
Yeah.
He was trying to lose weight and then he can't, he's just eating and he cannot gain weight or even maintain weight.
Yeah, that was, who was the main guy in that? Wasn't it? You know, Joe Mantegna shows up in that, but the other one is a guy named Robert John Burke. I don't know if he was in much else. But, Stephen King's kind of hit and miss, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's an interesting one. I remember seeing that one in the theater.
I thought the most disturbing part of that was, in the end, to get rid of the curse, they didn't just relieve it. He had to transfer it to somebody else.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was just... You know, there's no happy ending there.
Yeah. The there's a movie called It Follows. Did you see that one? I've shown that a couple of times at my horror parties over the year.
I've seen parts of it.
It's pretty good. And basically, somebody that's... a lot of people hate it. I thought it was brilliant. I loved it. It's this monster that basically follows you if you're it.
Yeah.
And the way you are it is you... have sex with the person who was previously it.
Right.
And
so it's an STD.
Pretty much. Yeah. It's a walking STD. But it has one of the best moments in a horror movie in daylight. The thing that is it, only the person who is it can see. So this girl is on the beach with all of her friends, and the entity starts attacking. And all anybody else sees are this person flying around in midair. It like grabs her and like throws her around in midair. So everybody is seeing this woman just kind of jump up from the beach and fly around in the air. And yeah, it's pretty wild. It's a cool daylight scene for a horror movie. You don't see that too often.
Yeah, especially not in daylight.
But it came out in 2014. They consider it a supernatural psychological horror film. I loved it. I thought it was great. And it's got a great soundtrack, too. It's this young kid that did the soundtrack to It Follows. I really like it. Every week we've been doing Vincent Price recipes. I have a great one for this week. It's he does like a curry sauce. He does like an Indian curry dish. Do you remember any Vincent Price movies? Like A House on Haunted Hill, or you remember how much of a celebrity he was?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was on everything. He basically showed up everywhere. He's in like the Brady Bunch. He'd be on Hollywood Squares. Like, he was just all around everywhere. And I just thought, you know what? It should be part of the Real Horror Show to have Vincent Price show up and have his own little segment every week.
So we're gonna Vincent Price.
We're going to take a little break here, and Winston and I will be right back. This is Vincent Price with his Recipe of the Week here on Real Horror Show on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. Stick around at 6 p.m. Derek Gary will be calling in with his 4K Picks of the Week and some reviews.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Vincent Price.
I like to make my own curry seasonings, which are known as masala in the Indian dialect. I like grinding my own spices because I can control the freshness and quality of the spices. To make my masala, I put in 1/4 cup of whole cloves and 1/4 cup of granulated pepper. I put it into the electric blender. I then break 2-inch stick of cinnamon into pieces and put it in with the pepper and the cloves. I then add 1 tablespoonful of turmeric, 2 tablespoons of cardamom seeds, and 1 tablespoon of coriander seed. I start the blender off slowly and grind the spices till they are well pulverized. I then store my curry powder or masala in an airtight container. I've always believed that a little judicious faking and justifiable snobbery can carry off an emergency company meal with great style. So here's our lifesaver curry sauce. I first chop 2 onions in my blender with water and drain them well. I then melt 4 tablespoons full of butter in a heavy kettle or saucepan and sauté the drained onions until they are golden. I then stir in 1 heaping tablespoon of masala and cook the mixture for 1 minute to take the raw edges off of the curry powder. I then add 1 cup of yogurt, a marvelous vitamin and protein source, and simmer this mixture for about 5 minutes. I then peel 2 tomatoes. The easy way is to stab them 1 at a time with a fork and heat them over a gas flame on the stove until the skin bursts. It then peels right off. I then cut the tomato in half, hold it over the trash, and squeeze it till the seeds and the juice come out. That way we have pure tomato flavor and our sauce is not watered down. I chop the tomatoes into small chunks and toss them into the sauce and simmer it all together, uncovered, until the sauce is thick and the tomatoes tender. That takes about 10 to 12 minutes. I then add 1/4 cup of raw cashew nuts and 1/4 cup of blanched almonds ground in the blender with 1 teaspoonful of salt. I then stir in 1 cup of heavy cream and I simmer the sauce for about 3 or 4 minutes. This makes a little over 2 cups of really heavenly sauce. It can keep for 1 week, covered tightly in the refrigerator, or it can be frozen for 1 month. A good curry sauce can be a lifesaver when I have unexpected company. I can then broil chicken pieces or sauté them and cover them with the sauce and bake them for 45 minutes at 350 degrees, and with the garnishes and rice have a lovely informal dinner that only needs a salad and a dessert. I generally serve beer, but some people prefer a very strong white wine. One of my favorite side dishes is Indian spiced green beans. I first put 2 peeled garlic cloves in my blender with 1/3 cup of water, 1-inch seeded slice of lemon and its peel, plus 1 teaspoonful of salt. I blend this and set it aside. I heat 1/3 cup of oil in 10-inch skillet with a lid, and then I saute 1/4 teaspoon of cumin seeds in the oil for about 1 minute. I then add 3 cups of frozen, thawed green beans and sauté them for 3 or 4 minutes. I add the lemon-garlic mixture and turn the heat to low, and then I cook the spiced beans for about 20 minutes or until they are just tender. Just before I serve them, I turn the heat up high and stir them till almost all of the liquid has evaporated. The beans have a lovely lemony aroma, and people never guess the mysterious rich flavor is nothing more than garlic. What fun. Cornally, I generally lower all the lights and burn a little incense to help create a mood. And then I have sitar records and put them on the stereo, and that helps tremendously. Candles winking everywhere are very romantic. This meal depends on you to create a mood, so be daring. Use a different tablecloth or a brilliant remnant of material. Pull out all the brass and copper you can find. Wear dangling earrings and a draped sari if you have it, and every bracelet you can find. And then you own the mystery of India from your dining room and your kitchen.
You're listening to WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. It's the Stones in the background. There was Vincent Price before that. I like that little recipe that he had there. It's kind of fascinating to me because he mentions yogurt like it's something new that nobody's heard of. He's like, it's a great source of protein and vitamins. But when you think about it, back then, maybe people weren't really eating yogurt that much in the U.S., right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't quite come in until, you know, probably, what, the 80s, people started jumping in on the yogurt bandwagon?
Yeah, with a little bit of the health kick, right?
Yep.
And, because it was mostly considered Mediterranean and Middle Eastern,
yes.
Right? The yogurt. It's fascinating to me. You know what was fascinating, too, is nobody... I tried to tell somebody who worked this the other day, and we were talking, they were younger, and I'm like, he's 30, and I'm like, yeah, you know, bagels were never big. Donuts were big.
Yeah.
Dunkin' Donuts only had donuts and coffee, just like the old Dennis Leary thing. It was donuts and coffee, and that was it. But, and then all of a sudden, like, Finagle a Bagel came in and a bunch of others, and it just started going crazy. There was always the New York, you know, delis and Jewish bagels and things like that and down that way. But it just blew up all over the U.S. in, like, the early 90s. And there was one point where salsa became the number one condiment for like a year or two,
yes,
over like ketchup and mustard and mayo and all that. Salsa was number
salsa
one.
Salsa was big for a hot minute.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody now has a hot sauce.
Yeah.
Don't you think? Or a barbecue sauce, like the Stabber and the very early things. Like, I also make my own barbecue sauce.
Everybody
I don't
does
just
the
stab
barbecue.
People. I also make my own barbecue sauce. I collect people's blood. Yeah, but it's interesting when I hear Vincent Price talk about yogurt like he's bringing something brand new to the Americas, you know, or it's kind of interesting. But he was a gourmet cook. He was really a great cook.
I did not know that.
Oh yeah, he had his own records and things like that. He would bring out all his recipes. He wrote a whole bunch of different cookbooks and stuff. So yeah, he was a really interesting dude, and of course he was in, you know, all these crazy horror movies, a lot of B movies and science fiction movies and stuff. So basically, he was one of the superstars of 50s and 60s and 70s cinema and TV, Vincent Price. So we do that segment here every week here on The Real Horror Show. My name's Chris Earle. My co-host today is Winston Kidd, and Derek Gary should be calling in at 6 p.m. I think he's going to give us a review or two. I'm not really sure. But when you're usually sick, you usually watch a couple of movies if you're up for it. So I think maybe Derek sat down and watched a couple of movies. We'll find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we talked about zombies a little bit. Night of the Living Dead, we've talked about that in the past. But what's your take on it, Winston? What do you think about that first one, the slow-moving zombie, the George Romero Night of the Living Dead from 1968? Do you remember?
Oh, it's a classic.
One?
I mean, and, you know... The interesting thing is, that was the the first real zombie movie, and they never used the word zombie.
That's right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I don't think we've brought that up before. It's a good point. Yeah, they
called them ghouls.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it was panned in a lot of ways and disturbing, and then, like all great movies, it built a cult following, and then people, academics, started looking at it and saying, you know, attributing all kinds of meanings to it.
Yeah.
Which may or may not have had anything. I mean, if you're in a position where you're writing a movie and you've gone through a number of revisions like this one did, because this one, George Romero produced it and he was trying to leverage off his other stuff, by the time you get to that final cut, you're not trying to make a political statement. You're just trying to get something that'll work.
Mm-hmm.
So even if there initially was, I'm not sure that that's what comes through in the end.
Yeah, it's a pretty great movie. The ghouls swarm around the house searching for living human flesh.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a couple of stills here from the movie as we talk about it a little. And Richard Matheson, who did a lot of Twilight Zone episodes. I guess George Romero drew inspiration from him and from I Am Legend, which is another great...
I Am Legend.
It was a horror novel, and then they turned it into a few movies, like Last Man on Earth, and, of course, the one with Will Smith.
The Omega Man.
Omega Man, yeah.
And then Will Smith was the remake.
I Am Legend. So they actually called it the I Am Legend, like the book. Really, really cool. I like the slow zombies, and it kind of was like you said, people would read into it a little bit more, and like, okay, so here's what happens about being an individual versus being part of society, and the society happens to be the masses of zombies.
Yeah. They just want to eat your brain.
Yep.
I mean, you could go a lot of ways with that.
Yeah.
And that, I think the when they move slow like that, and they're just overwhelming, the benefit of it was it's the slow march towards the end, because things are building up. And so the tension just builds because what are you going to do?
It's inevitable.
It's inevitable.
Yeah, you're not going to escape it.
And just, you know, how do you react to that?
Yeah.
And I think the acting was, for a movie of its time, the acting was great.
Yeah, it's very good. I mean, it cost next to nothing to make. It was like $100,000, and it made $30 million. So this is one of the reasons why, you know, people make horror movies, especially as their first movies, as directors or actors, actresses, they always star in them, and, you know, because people just love going to a horror movie and being scared. There's nothing, you know, it's fascinating how people love a good scare, and then we're okay afterwards.
Yeah.
And it's very similar to comedy. And Derek has mentioned this, I think, on the first show we talked about a little bit. You know, that initial scare and then that release of, oh, okay, we're fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like, oh, there's that release of, you know, it's a, oh, my God, I can't believe I just laughed at that awful joke. And then you're fine, you know.
I think, but there's a lot of things that we do like that. That's a roller coaster, what you described right there.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
I'm going in. I'm worried about it. It excites me. It scares me. And then, poof.
Yep.
I'm safe.
I'll put a little bit of the It Follows soundtrack in the background while we're chatting here. So the guy's name who made this, he was like 19 years old. He called himself Disaster Piece. and the soundtrack's great. It's just like, it's almost... it's as sparse as, like, you know, Halloween and John Carpenter. It's just very simple and creepy and creates a good vibe. Walking Dead. I watched it early on. I guess, you know, the comic book was huge. It was around for a number of years before they finally made the television show. Now, you were on board with The Walking Dead when it first started, right?
Yeah.
Now, do you watch it at all anymore?
No.
Yeah, me neither. I caught up to probably maybe two seasons ago. And there were some hits and misses in there, but for the most part, it was a lot of misses since, you know, they kind of jumped the shark when they introduced Negan and killed off Glenn. It just got gruesome and gratuitous and way over the top.
Yeah, it just...
You know, it became too real, I think.
Well, you know? In some ways, it's like every series, you get two, at the most, three good seasons before the writers start getting poached to other projects.
Yes.
And then you're jumping the shark. You know, you bring people in and you get really weird stuff going on.
They are saying this is the final season, I think. I don't know if they're ever going to bring back Rick. Nobody seems to know. He was supposed to be in a movie, but nobody seems to know. Like, are they ever going to bring back Rick Grimes? The last thing that happens with Rick is he's on a bridge. The bridge blows up, and then we never see him again. And then Michonne decides to leave the show, and she finds, like, Rick's underpants somewhere and decides to go searching for him. You know, it's like, okay, whatever. But, and then they've spun off to a whole bunch of different shows. There's one called World Beyond and Fear the Walking Dead and Tales of the Walking Dead. I don't know. I just call it dead.
Yeah.
It's all done. It's like they're beating a dead horse. Like, come on.
Yeah, they almost have to do that, right? They inevitably wind up just making it so that you absolutely hate it.
Yeah, pretty much. Which is a shame. Because I really enjoyed it early on. I thought it was really a great show. It's funny because, like, I Am Legend, I really enjoyed a lot, too, for the first two-thirds of it. Until Will Smith wasn't alone with his dog anymore. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, there are survivors. I'm like, I'm not really interested in survivors. I'm really interested in the man and his dog story.
Yeah. You know?
I kind of liked that story a little more. Like, even the Will Forte TV show was like Last Man on Earth or something, right?
Oh, yeah.
It was great. The first one, he's like, there's no dialogue. He's like bowling like into taxis, right?
That was awesome.
Yeah, he's like throwing bowling balls into taxis' windows and stuff. And it was great. And then all of a sudden, people show up for him to talk to. And it's like, ugh. Like, yeah. I'm done with this show.
Yeah, I think the best part about the I Am Legend, the Will Smith one, was when he wakes up and she's cooking the bacon that he had been saving for a special occasion.
Right. Yeah, that would make me mad.
I would
make any man mad.
I would have been beside myself.
Bacon is for a special occasion.
This is my bacon.
Yeah.
You're in my house.
That's right. Don't touch the bacon.
Don't touch the bacon.
Yeah. Do you think zombies have to come with apocalypse, or can zombies just exist on their own? Like, most things are all apocalypse scenarios, aren't they? Most of the zombie scenarios?
I think it's a cause and effect, right?
Is it? Okay.
For a lot of the zombie things, it's... You know,
civilization collapses due to an overwhelming swarm of zombies.
Yeah,
zombie apocalypse.
The zombies cause the apocalypse because,
yeah,
you know, people are dying every day and turning into zombies. Then, you know,
yeah,
you eventually you're going to get overwhelmed.
You have to have more zombies than survivors.
And every time the zombies kill somebody, if they don't eat them all, they become a zombie.
So that's true. Does a zombie necessarily have to eat human flesh, or can it just exist?
That's never really been clear.
Yeah. We know they enjoy it. We know they enjoy a finger or a brain or a foot or whatever. Yeah.
But, you know, it's never clear whether or not there are, like if we go back to the Halo series with the Flood.
Yeah.
Where there are different types that do different things.
Uh-huh.
At least during The Walking Dead, you've only seen one type.
You know, I kind of enjoyed, I think it was like a meme or something, or people started posting like zombie with arrow through head, or zombie with armor, zombie with, like it was basically an extra who got to play like zombie, you know, in the sewer, or zombie in the field. Or things like that. I thought that was kind of fun. I forget what it was. It was like Lone Zombie in the Field. And people were ranking which was their favorite zombie. And it was like in The Walking Dead. It was like the beginning of the one of them's Lone Zombie in the Field. Everybody seemed to like that one that was walking amongst the rice or wheat. You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, that's pretty cool. When it comes to ranking for monsters, all right, we got your Frankenstein, we got your Dracula.